Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
It's in the book of Daniel chapter 4, also in Daniel chapter 5, where we're told that God sets up and takes down leaders and nations, and even the great king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He had to come to the point, through severe trial, where he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms on earth, and he sets over these kingdoms anyone he wishes. So God is often involved in dealing with leaders and nations more often than we realize. And with this in mind, let's talk about the big story of the year 2017. Now, the big story of 2017 may actually take place in boring Europe. But Europe is not so boring anymore. More terrorist attacks in European cities, without a doubt, will take place in the year 2017. Der Spiegel magazine, the German magazine, reported just recently that German Chancellor Angela Merkel is in crisis mode, that the recent truck attack has shaken the entire country. Now at least 12 people are dead and dozens more wounded after an attacker drove a semi-truck into a market in the heart of Berlin. The attack on a peaceful market in Berlin provides a shocking demonstration of just how vulnerable Germany has become. Will the big story of 2017 then be a terrorist event in a European city, or maybe a terrorist event here in America? Or will the European banking crisis create a contagion that spreads from Italy to Spain, then on into France, and then into Asia, and even entering and contaminating the United States banking system? See, all these banks are tied together. It's a big web. You know, the European banks are in trouble. They are drowning in bad loans, and those loans are not being repaid. Even Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in Germany, or for that matter, the biggest bank in Europe, now Deutsche Bank is barely surviving. At some point, Deutsche Bank is going to have to be bailed out by the German government. Germany and Europe, for that matter, cannot allow its biggest bank to collapse. Then you have the Spanish, Portuguese, and Greek banks. They also are in deep trouble, and I mean very deep trouble. Now, the European Union seems to be moving from one emergency to the next. Europe's leaders are in crisis fighting mode. They are reactive, improvising, often uncoordinated, and now overwhelmed. Refugees pouring into their cities, no job growth, 30% unemployment among those age 18 to 35 years of age, terrorist events, the rise of nationalist parties in more than a dozen European nations. Europe is being tormented by a variety of crises. You see, very few of you listening to me today read the European papers, and of course not. I mean, you live here in the United States, and our papers are immersed in the fact that we have a new president, and we're asking the question, what will this new president do? But events in Europe, and even events in the Middle East or in Asia, these events often blindside us here in the United States because to some degree, well, we know the geography, we are isolated by two great oceans. We live in a bit of a bubble. Now, we can become out of touch with the larger winds that buffet the other countries of the world, but be warned, strong winds blow elsewhere. Yes, there are big events in the making that can create massive change, and that massive change will impact not just Europe and the Middle East, but also Asia and North America. What about the European elections? Crucial elections will take place in the Netherlands, also in France and in Italy and in Germany in 2017. And of course, we're going to watch these elections in Europe very closely. Now, France is going to hold its two-round presidential election in April and in May, while the resignation of Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi in December, that has opened the door to general elections sometime in Italy in 2017. In many of these European nations, nationalist and anti-globalization parties will make a strong showing in their elections. It all gets back to anger. People in Europe are very angry. Will we see a Nexit in the year 2017? I didn't say Brexit, I said Nexit. Controversial Dutch politician Geert Wilders has vowed to withdraw the Netherlands, meaning Nexit. He has promised to withdraw the Netherlands from the European Union should his far-right party for freedom, called the PVV, should that party win the March elections in the Netherlands. Now, Wilders just might get the chance to make good on his promise because the Party for Freedom has surged in the polls recently, and that party is now running ahead of the party of the current Dutch Prime Minister, Mark Rutte. Now, remember, we're talking about the Netherlands. They hold elections in March, and one of the leaders of the right-wing party in the Netherlands called the Party for Freedom, his name is Geert Wilders, and Geert Wilders has proposed outlawing the Koran, placing a tax on headscarves, and banning the constructions of mosques in the Netherlands. And of course, here at World Watch today, we'll be watching that election that takes place in March. But the granddaddy of all elections to take place in 2017 will take place in Germany. Germany holds its federal election. Right now, it's scheduled for October the 22nd. Angela Merkel apparently likes being the German chancellor. She just announced that she will run for a fourth term. She has held the post of German chancellor since 2005. And Angela Merkel is the undisputed leader of the European Union. Now, Angela Merkel has pushed austerity measures to deal with the Eurozone's debt crisis, welcomed more than 1 million refugees to Germany, and led Europe's efforts to present a unified front against an aggressive Russia. But her popularity, not only in Germany, but also throughout the Eurozone, her popularity is in decline. Now, the wild card that comes up in this election in Germany in October, the wild card in this election is the Alternative for Germany party. It is a right-wing, anti-immigrant, anti-Islam, Eurosceptic party. In other words, it too wants to leave the European Union. Now, this party, the Alternative for Germany party, which is headed by Franka Petri. Franka Petri is only about 40 or 41 years of age. Now, this party has done surprisingly well in Germany's state and local elections. It upset the Christian Democrats in Angela Merkel's home state back in September. Now, at this point in time, it seems almost unthinkable that Angela Merkel would lose a federal election. She's still somewhat popular, but of course, anything can happen. And if we see more terrorist events taking place in Germany, more terrorist strikes, like we just recently saw, well, you could see the German public turn against Angela Merkel very quickly. Now, the year 2017 is definitely the year of elections, and you have other elections around the world. You have, of course, as I just mentioned, the election in March in the Netherlands, but you also have an election at the end of March in Hong Kong. And then you have the French presidential elections, and you have these in two rounds. You have the first round on April the 23rd, then the second round of the French presidential elections will take place on May the 7th. And then in the month of May, you have a very, very important presidential election taking place in the Middle Eastern state of Iran. That's right, on May the 19th. You're going to have the Iranian presidential election. Can Hassan Rouhani shock the world a second time? He first surprised the world back in 2013, winning the Iranian presidential election in a landslide. He actually defeated a slate of hardline candidates along the way. He also defeated Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. We're talking about Hassan Rouhani, who is the president of Iran, and remember as well that he negotiated a nuclear deal with the West, freeing Iran of many of the sanctions that it faced. But with Donald Trump's victory, that success now looks very precarious. We don't know what's going to happen between the United States and Iran in 2017, and that dynamic relationship is going to no doubt be a front burner issue. We'll cover that very closely here on World Watch today, during the year 2017. And then at the end of the year, we have the South Korean presidential election. That is important. We don't talk much about South Korea, but in terms of what's taking place in Asia, South Korea is a significant nation, and I do believe we have some radio broadcasts dedicated to Asia in prophecy. Where does China fit into the fabric of prophecy in terms of end time events and so on? We'll have some programs regarding China, Vietnam, South Korea, and how all those nations fit into end time prophecy. Now, we may well see that the big story of 2017 will have to do with ISIS. Will we see ISIS defanged in 2017? I don't think ISIS is going to go away forever. I think it will survive. It will mutate in different ways. It'll impact all of the world, including terrorist strikes. Remember, again, ISIS has claimed responsibility for the terrorist strike that just took place in Germany. We're talking about this truck plowing into people in Berlin. ISIS took responsibility for that. But now, I want to talk about Hezbollah. What is Hezbollah? What's taking place with Hezbollah? What about a potential war in 2017 between South Lebanon, the headquarters of Hezbollah, and Israel? This may be the big story of 2017. So let's talk about what the Middle East nations are talking about, because a great concern within the Middle East today is an impending war between southern Lebanon and Israel. Everyone knows it's coming, but we don't know if that will take place in 2017 or 2018 or maybe even in 2019. Now, you need to order our special CD where we talk about what's going to take place in 2017. We analyze the world scene. We take a look at prophecy. We talk about the significance of Russia. We talk about the Middle East, of course. We talk about Iran. We talk about Israel and Hezbollah in the Middle East. We talk about the Vatican. What will be the big story in the year 2017? All of it as it relates to prophecy. We'll send this CD to you free of charge. You can reach us toll free at 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. Request program 2017. That's program 2017. So let's turn our focus right now onto what is taking place within the Middle East, especially between Israel and southern Lebanon. Let's talk about Hezbollah. Now, it's been over 10 years since the last Lebanese war. I'm talking about the war between Hezbollah and southern Lebanon and Israel. Hezbollah, which means the party of God, is a Shia Islamist political, military, and social organization, and it wields considerable power in Lebanon. Now, the last war between Israel and Hezbollah, it took place over 10 years ago, and it was called the Second Lebanon War. It took place in the summer of 2006. Now, Hezbollah merged with financial backing from Iran and going all the way back to the 1980s, and it began at that point in its struggle against Israel. Hostility to Israel has remained the party's defining platform. Hezbollah has vowed to fight against Israel. But currently, Hezbollah is involved in the Syrian civil war. Hezbollah supports the Assad government in Syria. Remember, the Assad government in Syria is Shiite, and so is Hezbollah. They're both of the Shia persuasion. Now, Hezbollah has been accused of carrying out a string of bombings and plots against Jewish and Israeli targets, and it is designated as a terrorist organization by the United States, by Israel, by Gulf Arab countries, and the Arab League. So let's recall that Hezbollah is involved in this Syrian civil war, and Hezbollah has lost over 1,500 of its soldiers who have been killed in Syria. Among them, a top commander whose name was Mustafa Badreddin. And also, I think it's worth noting, this is important to remember, that currently the leader of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon is Hassan Nasrallah. And remember, this individual, Hassan Nasrallah, is pro-Iran. He hates Saudi Arabia. And the Saudis are Sunni, while Hassan Nasrallah is Shia. So you constantly have this in the background where you have the Sunnis against the Shia. Remember, the Iranians and Hezbollah are Shia, while the Saudis and many of the other Arab Emirate nations are Sunni. Now, in the Middle East, if you were living in the Middle East, you could listen to Hassan Nasrallah on a relatively frequent basis. And often when he speaks, he almost always is sure to attack Saudi Arabia. Since Hezbollah's entrance into Syria, Nasrallah has pointed to Saudi Arabia as an antagonist in the region, a line that fits with Hezbollah's larger claim to be defending Lebanon from Sunni quote-unquote terrorists in Syria. I know this gets terribly complicated. You have Hezbollah, which is Shiite. You have the Iranians. They are Shiite. Then you have Saudi Arabia. You have Qatar. You have Jordan. You have Egypt. You have Turkey. All of those nations are Sunni. So there's constant tension between the Sunni nations and the Shiite nations. But in talking about Hezbollah, there's a reason we're talking about Hezbollah in today's program, because Hezbollah, and we believe southern Lebanon itself, most likely will fit into end-time prophecy. We know definitely that Lebanon figures into end-time prophecy. Whether or not Hezbollah will be called Hezbollah 5 or 10 years from now, that's yet to be seen. But again, Hezbollah controls much of southern Lebanon. A very important prophecy, which includes Lebanon, is actually found in the book of Psalms. I'm referring to the specific Psalm, Psalm 83, which is a prophecy, a fascinating prophecy, about the end time Middle East, including many of these Arab nations, and of course, Israel. So if you were to read Psalm 83, why don't we go to Psalm 83 and I'll quickly read the prophecy, then I'll talk about some of the nations involved in the prophecy. So we're taking a look now at Psalm 83. And Psalm 83 discusses this end-time conspiracy against Israel. In verse 2, it says, "For behold, your enemies," in other words, the enemies of Israel, "at the time of the end, they make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. They've consulted together against your sheltered ones. And they have said," and this is talking about a cabal of nations in the Middle East, "and they will say as they come together as a unit," this has not happened yet, it's going to happen. When it does happen, they will say, "Come, let us cut off Israel from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more." In verse 5 it says, "For they consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, Israel." And who are the nations? And then God lists the very nations at the time of the end. Verse 6. "You have the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. You have Moab and the Hagarites. You have Gabal and you have Ammon. You have Amalek. You have Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre." Remember, Tyre is a city, a location in Lebanon. "Then you have Assyria, who is also joined with them." So we see in this list of conspiring enemies, the foremost and perennial enemy of Israel is given first. He talks about Edom in Psalm 83 and verse 6. Edom, the nation descended from Jacob's brother Esau. In an end-time setting, which we believe we're dealing with here, when we take a look at this Psalm 83, it's an end-time setting, we find that the Edomites today can actually be found among the Palestinians in Israel and in Jordan, also among the Turks. There are some Edomites within the nation of Turkey. Also, you find Edomites scattered throughout Iraq and other Middle Eastern peoples as well. All of this is due to immigration. You also find some Edomites that actually left the Middle East and migrated up into Europe. And now listed second in Psalm 83, we find listed second are the Arabs. And the Arabs here are called the Ishmaelites. Remember that many of the Arabs today will actually tell you that they are descended from Ishmael. And that would include the Saudis. Now, third on the list is Moab. Moab along with Ammon. Now, these two individuals descended from Lot. And the Moabites are to be found today among the Palestinians in Jordan and in Israel, and also among other Middle Eastern peoples. So many of these various tribes, they still exist today, but they are scattered throughout the Middle East. Listed forth are the Hagarites. Now, the Israelite tribes of Reuben and Gad actually fought against the Hagarites in the days of Saul. You can read about that in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Now, the name Hagarites most likely is a reference to the descendants of Ishmael's mother, Hagar, Hagarites, descended from Hagar, and thus they are related to the Ishmaelites. And some historians believe that the Hagarites are most likely to be identified in modern times today with the Arabs of Syria. And then we have mentioned fifth is Gabal. Now, this is really interesting because we're probably taking a look at a seaport, a reference to what is called today Byblis, which was called Byblis by the Greeks and the Romans. The Phoenician city today is Jebel in Lebanon, 25 miles north of Beirut. But the name Gabal, it can refer to mountains as well, but most likely Gabal is a reference to a location in Lebanon today. And then sixth on the list is Ammon. Now, the Ammonite capital, Rabbah, is now Ammon, the capital city of Jordan. Very easy to identify. Like the related Moabites, the Ammonites today are probably to be found among Palestinians in Jordan. Remember that so much of the population of Jordan is actually made up of Palestinians. And of course, mentioned seventh is infamous Amalek. Now, the Amalekites were a hostile Edomite people of southern Canaan. Remember, they ambushed the stragglers in the Israelites' rear ranks when they came up out of Egypt. And for this ruthlessness, God said he would have war with the Amalekites from generation to generation, and eventually he would cause them to be wiped out. Now, you can read about all of that in Exodus chapter 17, also in Deuteronomy chapter 25. But they continued to exist. The Israelites never killed all of them. Though suppressed under Saul and David, the Amalekites remained. The Amalekites today may be among the Palestinians. You'll also see Amalekites among the Central Asian Turks. And again, we believe that the Amalekites are actually scattered throughout the Middle Eastern peoples. Philistia, the land of the Philistines, is mentioned eighth on this list. It's found in Psalm 83 and verse 7, where it talks about Philistia. Remember that Philistia was located along the southwest coast of Israel. A significant portion of the area of ancient Philistia is today what we would call the Palestinian Gaza Strip, Gaza being one of the ancient cities of the Philistines. And then listed ninth are the inhabitants of Tyre. Clearly, Tyre is talking about the area in Lebanon. I'm in Psalm 83 and verse 7. So the reason I mention all of this, and I took quite a bit of time to describe some of these nations, is mentioned in Psalm 83, because among this cabal of nations that will be against Israel at the time of the end, certainly this would include Lebanon and major population centers within Lebanon. Again, this is important to appreciate. This prophecy in Psalm 83, this has not come to pass yet. This is yet to be seen in the future when you get these various Arab nations that agree to deal with Israel, to attack Israel. Now, we know that Hezbollah today is much stronger than it was back in 2006. As a matter of fact, Israeli intelligence reports that Hezbollah has in its possession at least 150,000 rockets to attack Israeli cities. If there is a future war between Hezbollah and Israel, and most likely that's going to take place, and when that war takes place, Hezbollah has the use of this vast arsenal that it can use against Israel, and already Hezbollah has stated that its targets will be Israeli civil population centers and also national infrastructure, such as ports and the airports in Israel. Now, if this takes place, if war breaks out between Hezbollah and Israel, Israel will have no alternative but to respond against Hezbollah with overwhelming force. Now, we're talking about what could possibly be the big story of the year 2017. And let's not forget Russia. Now, the pattern in Europe is one of Russian aggression. Aggression in Georgia, in Crimea, in eastern Ukraine. And then, of course, over the past few years, we've seen the West's pattern of behavior, which is alarmingly feeble when it comes to responding to Putin's territorial expansion. I don't know what's going to take place in 2017. Perhaps President-elect Donald Trump will actually get along well with Vladimir Putin. This is all yet to be seen. Now, remember, Russia is the largest country on Earth. It spans 11 time zones. It has a population of 145 million people. Now, Russia is very concerned about Ukraine. Will we see in 2017? Will we see Russia again mass troops along the Ukrainian border? Now, you need to order our special CD where we talk about what's going to take place in 2017. We analyze the world scene. We take a look at prophecy. We talk about the significance of Russia. We talk about the Middle East, of course. We talk about Iran. We talk about Israel and Hezbollah in the Middle East. We talk about the Vatican. What will be the big story in the year 2017? All of it as it relates to prophecy. We'll send this CD to you free of charge. You can reach us toll free at 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll free call. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. Request program 2017. That's program 2017. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.